Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we're glad you're still doing that. Lee Branham is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Lee is a friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust, author of Keeping the People Who Keep You in Business, also the author of The 7 Hidden Reasons Employees Leave. He is the founder of a consulting firm called Keeping the People. So you kind of get the idea here, right, folks? He's an expert in making sure that you acquire, and keep good people. And he's been a busy little bee since the last time we talked to him. He's been doing a lot of research, and he's brought it back to us right now. We're going to be the beneficiaries of his hard work. Lee Branham, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be with you, as always.
It's a pleasure to have you back, as always. And I want to thank you for all the hard work you've been doing and the ability to bring all that hard work to us in a condensed, distilled, handy-dandy little report that you're going to give us on how to make sure that our employees are happy campers.
Well, it's not physical work, but it's hard work nevertheless. we've had the benefit of 2.1 million employee surveys that have been conducted since 2004 by American City Business Journal's chain of business newspapers around the country.
Mm-hmm.
As you may know, they have these best places to work competitions on a yearly basis, and they give out awards to the three best scoring large, medium, and small businesses in their communities. And so what we have done is we've analyzed what this top 1% of companies that apply for this competition, what it is they're doing based on analyzing the surveys of their employees. And it's interesting, you know, we get a lot of comments, too. There are over 100,000 comments that we have personally read, verbatim comments from employees. And it's sort of sitting around the electronic water cooler. And, hearing employees tell the truth about what they really think about their places to work. And it's interesting, in some cases, some of the employees are pretty cynical, and they say things like, I can't believe my company thinks that there are great places to work enough that they would even apply for this competition. And on the other hand, at the best places to work, people say things like, I can't believe how lucky I am to work at this place. I didn't know there were places like this. So you get the sense that it's a very real thing. And when you go from one company to another, there really are companies that know how to treat their employees well, and those companies just are magnetized. They want to stay there.
Well, and what those companies do, one of the things they do is they love up their customers their employees who are capable of being loved. The ones who might not be capable of being loved, they try to redeem them if they can. And if they can't redeem them, they get rid of them.
Well, that's right. And everybody makes hiring mistakes.
Yeah.
And you hire disengaged workers, and you try and redeem them. It's a great word. That's a great way to put it. You try and coach them. And, you know, there's 16 ways that employees don't do the right thing. And 15 of those 16 are all controllable by the manager.
Right.
So we need to give employees the benefit of the doubt and ask ourselves, is it something we're doing or not doing?
Management should always assume that if things aren't going right, you should always, and most of the time accurately, assume that it's your fault.
Well, that's right.
At least you should go the extra mile to make sure that when you actually do let somebody go, that nobody can say you didn't give it a try.
That's exactly right.
That you didn't turn the light back on yourself.
That's right. A lot of managers don't see it as their job duty to be a coach. They see I'm the manager, I have the power, they have to do what I say. It becomes a control issue as opposed to a coaching issue.
Well, it becomes instead of a coach of a team, you become a dictator of servants.
Right.
And that's not course, that's not good.
No, absolutely not.
Because if you coach a team, the talented players get to flourish. They get to shine. But if you dictate to company to servants, basically you got a whole company looking like you. And you know that's kind of scary sometimes, Lee.
That's exactly right. You need to encourage some diversity on the team, and everybody
Absolutely.
Has a different talent to bring, and you need to figure out what that person's talent is. The best teams are made up of a group of individuals whose individual and different talents are being brought to bear.
When we come back after these messages, Lee's going to tell us about some of the things he learned in this research. It's important stuff that you and I can use. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out. Use it to your advantage. You got our newsletter there, which we can subscribe to. We'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email. You got our blog, which we update on a regular basis, which you can subscribe to as well. You can RSS articles and archives to your little heart's content. Thousands of each one of those, and 1,000 new ones, new interviews every year, and hundreds of new articles every year that I write or my Brain Trust members write, like our good friend Lee Branham, who's with us right now. So I hope you'll check that out, folks, and at smallbusinessadvocate.com. We built it just for you. We got some new changes coming, some new stuff coming up that I think you're going to like. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter, if you like, at Jim Blassingame. That's my handle on Twitter. If you want to get a chance, want to follow me there, just check it out. Lee Branham is our guest. Branham is his last name. Lee, L-E-I-G-H. He's the author of The 7 Hidden Reasons Employees Leave. He's done quite a bit of research recently on employee engagement. And, Lee, get into some of the nuts and bolts of your research.
Well, I'd be happy to, Jim. We have looked at the scores of the companies that have applied to be the best places to work. And when we look at the upper 1% of those companies, we see that there are certain survey questions that they score highest on, and we cluster those, and we've sort of found 6 themes that tend to distinguish them. Number one is their senior leaders have a different mindset about employees. They really look at employees as assets to be served and developed and communicated with, and they're more visible to their employees. So they
more likely to be servant leaders?
Servant leaders. You got it. That's exactly right.
Tell the audience what that means.
Well, servant leaders means you don't see yourself, see the employees serving you as because you're at the top and you have the power. You see yourself serving the employees in every way you can, and that means listening to their needs, giving them the kinds of supplies and resources they need to be efficient and serve customers well. Because ultimately, if you serve your employees are going to feel well served, and therefore are going to serve their customers better. It just makes sense.
Blassingame's second law of aggregation says that the most successful managers aggregate the success of their employees. They subordinate their own goals, and they aggregate the success of their employees for their own success. And that's that's basically another way of saying that is a servant leader.
Exactly right, and that's not what we've seen in among a lot of the large companies that have led us to a disaster in the on Wall Street these days, where it's all about self-centeredness and greed as opposed to what's the common good for the organization.
That's exactly right. So all right, that
turned very cynical about that.
Yep. Have they? That's a interesting point there. Do are employees seeing that? Are they making that connection out in Heartland America, not just on Wall Street?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what they talk about at their barbecues, you know, how you know, you can't trust anybody at the top of the organization. I mean, it used to be 10, 20 years ago, you ask employees, do they trust their senior leaders? And by far, most employees would say yes. When you look at polls today, it's like 30%.
Right. And one of the reasons, I think, Lee, is because companies change their brand promise for PR purposes more today than they do to actually promise something. And employees don't like that, do they?
Of course not. I mean, because when they get in there, within the week or two, they find they're, or you know, they were told, well, within 6 months you're going to get a promotion or whatever, mm-hmm. and it doesn't happen. And you know, you can't just say to employees whatever you think you need to say to recruit them. You have to follow through on the promise, and the reality has to be there for them.
Let's do some of the other of the top six. Best company traits.
Yeah, the number one thing was the senior leaders. Number two was the direct managers, of course, who are trained to be good people managers, and the senior leaders hold them accountable for good people management skills, and they make sure they have those skills. And it's not just about engagement; it's about alignment as well. In other words, mm-hmm. here are the company objectives, and your job as the manager is to make sure the employees are focused on those objectives. So it falls to the managers to keep employees aligned. The third thing is great teamwork. The best places to work don't have as much we-they barriers between the top mm-hmm. and the bottom, or between different departments, you know, where they're sort of siloing and fighting with each other.
My friend R.K.C. and Cuddy calls that trust.
Well, yeah. I mean, trust, if you had to boil it down to one word, trust is encompasses all six of these mm-hmm. things. So trust is the one big word that mm-hmm. distinguishes the upper 1% of great places to work.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, employees feel challenged in their jobs that fit their talents, and they provide multiple opportunities for learning, growth, and development for those employees. So they have to feel like there's a future for me in this organization, and they're mm-hmm. constantly learning new stuff.
Why try to excel? Why try to seek excellence if you know that there's a lid on you? Excellence is supposed to have no lid. No, excellence is supposed to have no ceiling.
Right. And of course, there's not that in a small growing company, you don't have a lot of career paths, though.
Right.
You know? So,
yep.
So what do you do? You have to be straight with employees and say, you know, the likelihood is, mm-hmm. you know, you may not be here forever, but
there's
we'll help you to learn as much as you can while you are here.
We got through five. We got six one to come, and we're going to get Lee to tell us how we can acquire some of these traits in our own businesses. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Lee Branham is our guest. We'll be right back.
After you've had it, you're in an awful fix.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Lee Branham is our guest. He's the author of the Seven Hidden Reasons Employees Leave. And Lee, we need your website too, please.
Thank you. It's www.keepingthepeople.com.
And can we find your research there?
Well, it's not published yet. I am doing a new e-newsletter, which people can subscribe to for free.
All right.
And the next one is going to be all about this research.
If you have a summary of that research that you want to publish, be sure to let us know, and we'll put it up on our website.
Well, I'm writing it as we speak.
Be sure to include us in your distribution. Okay, so you gave us the first five traits of a highly desirable company to work for, and what's the sixth one?
Well, actually, there are two more that I
okay.
One of them, the fifth one is value. The word is value. Do you value your employees? And that is shown in many ways. First of all, do you recognize their contributions and their accomplishments by giving them a pat on the back and saying thank you
mm-hmm.
when they go above and beyond?
Learn how to say well done.
Exactly.
Learn how to catch people doing something right, not wrong.
Right. But valuing goes beyond just giving praise. There's a number of ways we show value. One is by listening to what their ideas are for how to improve things and taking action based on their ideas. Another one is keeping them informed. Another one is providing the right tools and resources. These are all ways.
How about not taking credit for what they think of?
Oh, well, yeah.
For their creativity, giving them credit for it.
Yeah, there are a multitude of sins that come under this category. There's no doubt about it. And that's probably the number one thing we need to do to focus on is valuing employees.
I still remember relationships that I had with managers decades ago, Lee, where my manager valued me. I still remember moments where someone put their hand on my shoulder and said, "Good job, Jim."
Yeah, and it's also caring enough and valuing enough to give them some critical feedback from time to time.
Yeah.
Because most employees say they don't get any feedback at all. And, and that's showing you don't even care enough to give them some critical feedback.
Right.
And the last one, the last of the six, is caring for the employee's well-being in the form of benefits and working conditions that show that you're willing to be flexible with them, that you're willing to, during times of hardship, you're willing
to... Family situations, things like that.
You take into account the obligations they have outside of work with their family and let them go an hour early if they have to take care of some kind of family business. Being generous with employees. If you are generous with them, they'll want to give back to you.
If they don't, because some of them don't. Now, Lee, let's be honest. I mean, I've had employees who just took from me and they didn't give back. They didn't, you know, if I gave them an hour off, you know, it never occurred to them to not leave at 5 o'clock the next day. And but the point you make there, the point you have to make with these people is sometimes they're not the ones you want to keep.
Exactly right. I mean, you're right. There will be 5 to 10% of your employees who, when you give to them, they'll take advantage of you. But that you have to give them the feedback that that's not going to be acceptable.
But the main thing is, one of the main things, and I think you said it just a second ago, we need to think about is, you know, these people have lives outside of our job. They have children. They have parents. They have families and issues, their own health issues, their own well-being. If you want to make an employee want to walk through fire for you, care about them during those times.
That's exactly right. There's nothing that builds loyalty better than staying with employees during tough times.
I've seen that paid forward and returned in spades many, many times.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we got 1 minute, Lee. Tell us your last thoughts. We'll wrap up all this, all that you've learned, and put a bow on it for us.
Well, I just think that a lot of companies are not thinking enough about their role in they're thinking about making the business successful, and they're thinking about short term, and they're pushing their employees and squeezing them and asking them to do more for less, and they're not thinking too much about their employees' needs emotionally, and they need to give a little bit more thought to what employees need. What employees need is a sense of hope, a sense of worth. They need trust, and they're emotional creatures, you know, and they don't get motivated simply by a paycheck.
Right.
And a lot of us think, I'm paying you.
Right.
Isn't that enough?
One of the things we've seen in survey after survey over decades is the top reasons why people leave is not money. It's not the top, even the top two, three, or four sometimes. Hey, Lee, give us that website one more time, please.
Thank you. www.keepingthepeople.com.
And the book is called The 7 Hidden Reasons Employees Leave. Lee, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim. We'll see you
next time.
Okay.
Lee Branham, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.